All right, I just want to welcome you all to our Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. And today I will be your podcast teacher, Minister Gerald Alford. And we're going to move forward here and do the last part of chapter 3. And we're going to finish that up. We didn't get a chance to record it last week, but I'll go ahead on and finish it on today, and we're going to move right on into chapter 4. There are some things here I want to touch base on to bring to our hearing. Truly what the Lord has said in the midst of this chapter 3, and I want you to be aware that I am going to go back and do the first part of chapter 3 and put it on the podcast because it's not there as of yet. So I'll go back and make sure that we touch on that. But I want to move and talk about the end part of 3 because it's going to be very crucial that we get into that as we move into chapter 4. So I'll get right in to verse 19 of chapter 3. And I'm going to go ahead on and finish this and just bring out a couple of key points. And then we'll go on into chapter 4. So 3 and 19 is where the apostles are going forth and they're dealing with the people, and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And I'm telling you, it's been a powerful time in the Lord. And so there's a call to repentance that's going out. And so in 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And this is exactly what we need to understand as a key point today. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's a God that changeth not, we got a situation here I want to always keep before us. What is the main theme that God is saying through this whole Bible anyway? It is repent and be converted. All right. And if you go back into Genesis, what happened? Man made a mistake and God said, you got to turn from your ways. And he said he was going to send a seed of the woman that was going to come. And we were going to be able to get back into right fellowship. So here we are in 19. The power of God has fallen. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. This is the main theme that we should be preaching. Did not Jesus say repent? So here we are. We have to forget those things that are behind, ask for forgiveness, and then move on to be converted. Then your sins may be blotted out, which is things that are holding you back in the flesh. And when the time of refreshing is going to come, it's only going to come after you repent and be converted. So I just want to let you know, if you want a breakthrough, you got to repent and be converted, and it's going to come. What you're looking for, your joy, your peace, your love, and you got a situation that's beating you down, you go ahead on and repent and be converted and watch the Lord work things out. And then that time of refreshing is going to come. Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So what are we to do in today's time? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then who do we need to be preaching?
Jesus Christ.
We need to be preaching Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, then I shall draw all men unto myself." So see, this is the key part of evangelism. And I want you all to get it as excited as I am about it, because we don't have to save anybody. But when we present Jesus, salvation can come. All right. And this is the key. Now, I'm just going to take just a little sidebar and tell you, when I first got saved and God first put his hand on me, my first thing was, can't you use somebody else? Because, you know, I can't sing. And at the time, you know, all of the preachers were singing and boy, they were gifted musicians and everything. And I didn't have that sort of gift. And he said, "No, you misunderstand. And when I call you to preach, I mean, you lift me up. I do the saving, I do the healing, I do the delivering. I just need for you to be a vessel." And see, this is where people have this stumbling block of looking at themselves and say, I got flaws and I've done this and I've done that. Well, everybody has done something. But the key is, if you got a mouth and you got a tongue that'll obey the Spirit of God, then you can lift up Jesus and God will do the work. So here we are. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So that's what we are to do. We are to preach Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world so that they can, what? Repent and be converted. And then after they do that, a time of refreshing. All right. 21. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Oh, when is that restoration going to come?
The restoration going to come when he comes again.
Aha. Uh-huh. So he is coming back. He said, I'm going to come back and get my own and I'm going to get it right. But see, guess what? We got a job to do till he get back.
Oh, it is a job.
And I'm gonna tell you, I was last night at the jail, and I was talking to the men there about praying and about seeking God's face and about being obedient to God's word. And I said, what you always want to think about is that there is a reward in working for God. And a lot of people don't think about that. They say, well, what's in it for me? And there is something in it for you. It's like this. If you don't obey and you don't do what God tells you to do and you stay in your sin, you're going to get a reward for that, which is hell, death, hell, and the grave. And then you're going to be cut off for eternity. But there's also a payoff if you pray, seek God's face, be obedient, and do the work, you get a reward. You get a well done, that good and faithful servant. In the end, I will make you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. So you got a reward coming either way. But you want the good reward and not the bad reward. And then they were looking at me and I said, OK, let's look at it like this. If you don't go to work, you don't get a paycheck, then you can't pay your bills and then you can't write checks and then you can't go buy things and you can't feed yourself. So you're going to have to work for somebody. Why not work for God? And so they started looking up then. They said, ooh, I want to work for God. And I said, that's the way to look at it. So I'm saying that to you to say our job is to first obey God. That's our job. Our job is to repent, be converted, obey God. And the next thing should come out of our mouth is Jesus and him crucified. And when we do that, people will respond to the ministry. And then they'll get saved. And then after they get saved, then that time of refreshing will come. And then their time to work is going to come. Because guess what? We'll be passing the baton on. And all the work that we're doing, somebody else is going to have to continue in that work. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So now we go to 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto you, him shall you hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. Now, in verse 22, what do we have? We have the apostle telling the Jews that you need to understand who this Jesus is. He was prophesied by Moses, and this is he. Right? He's saying he told you that he was going to come up from the midst of you all. And that you all should hear.
Right.
And so now he's bringing them back to the fact that, listen, Jesus is the one. Now, he already had got on them before, right? Y'all crucified him. Mm-hmm. Y'all treated him bad and everything. But this is truly the one that's the Savior. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
You need to repent, be converted, because the one that can save you came. He did the job. And now you're supposed to get it. And 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul, did it say every?
Every
soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. In other words, when the word come and you don't receive it, you're going to get cut off. Now, when we preach Jesus, we always preach in the context that we want you to get it when we preach it. But in the back of our minds, we understand that scripture says some plant, some water, but God will give the increase, right?
Right.
In this situation, he's saying, hey, if you don't get it, you just going to get cut off. Because guess what? The power was moving right then. So this is what he was saying. You're going to be cut off. Destroyed. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, here it is. Were not the Jewish people a people of heritage and history? They could tell you who their great granddaddy was. They could tell you what tribe they belonged to. You know, they could brag and they wore these garb and they sat in certain positions and they did all of that. But see, it's amazing how here the apostle had to bring them back. They would say, hey, y'all know everything else. Didn't y'all remember these statements? And how does that work for us today? We need to have the word of God in us so strong that whatever God tells us to say when we're in the midst of a group of people, it's going to be the right thing. And if we put God on deposit and we put these scriptures in our heart, what did David say? This word have I hid in my heart. See, you got to have it in your heart. Last night when I was talking to the men there in the jail, I asked each of them, I said, well, do you have a favorite scripture? Some of them did, some of them didn't. And some of them had, you know, the majority of them had Psalm 23. You know, they know, Lord is my shepherd. And boy, I mean, I said, well, you know, you need to have more than one, but at least have one. Because when trouble comes, that's the only anchor that's going to be able to hold. That word of God that you got in your heart. That's what's going to rise up. And then I gave him the illustration about when the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Lord will raise up a standard. His word is the standard. But if you don't have anything to raise up, you get beat up. And that's what I tell him. I said, if you don't have anything in your heart that's been put on deposit by God, then when the enemy comes in, what are you going to have to raise up? If you raise your hand up, you're going to be in trouble. If you just raise up what grandma said or what mama said and what uncle said and all of that, you better know what God said.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of good people saying some things, but will that run the enemy off?
No.
Will that stop the hand of the devil? You better know some Jesus and him crucified. Y'all know them stories where they went in and go run some demons off. It didn't quite work, did it?
No.
Hey, they say all these other folk I know, but I don't know you.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have no power. You running behind these folks. So this is what I'm trying to say to you. When you're reading these scriptures here, I want you all to get an understanding of what's going on. They're dealing with the people who have over a period of time have heard and trusted in what their heritage and their culture had taught them, but here the apostles are telling them, you better know it for yourself and know that the truth is right here in front of your face. This same Jesus, that prophet that was talked about from Moses all the way back, y'all crucified him, but guess what? He's risen from the dead, and boy, now you can be a part of the family. Y'all ought to get excited about it. I know I am. And so now we get into 25, and it said, you are the children of what? Of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be what?
Blessed.
And how are we blessed? We are blessed because we have an opportunity to enjoy a seat at the table.
Right.
We were engrafted in. So that's how we are blessed. We are blessed because we are now seed, because of the fact that some of them didn't want it, and God said, I'm going to give it who do want it. And it was us-ins. It was us-ins, Nims, all of that. Amen. And 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to do what? to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. I'll tell you what, this part right here is the bedrock of what we stand on and what we ought to be preaching and teaching. You know, there's a lot about gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot in there about the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot in there about living the Christian life. But the main thing is preaching Jesus. And once people get that and repent and turn away from their sins, then they can get the rest of the things for spiritual maturity. But you first got to get saved first. You got to be born again first, and then you can mature. You don't come in here a teenager. You come in here as a child. But you don't get born into the family unless you repent of your sins. So we always should keep in mind the group that you're talking to, the people that you're talking to, whoever you're ministering to, where they are in the scheme of things. And the main thing is to make sure, number one, that they know that who Jesus is, what did he do, and the repercussions of rejecting him. And if they do accept him, then what happens next? Then they should start to become disciples. They should start to become disciplined. You come in, you get in, you grow, and then you go out. Get in, grow, and go out. Right? If you don't get into the family, you can't eat at the table, right?
Right.
All
right. When you said lift Jesus up, I have a testimony on that because, you know, if we lift him up, he multiplies the increase. It's not us and ourselves. And so many times we go out and witness, and I have been witnessing to this person for several years. In fact, I witnessed so much until it was draining me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in my being drained, you know, the Holy Spirit said, back off, okay? You've done enough, back off. And as I backed off, and it took a while, this person, her total countenance has changed. Mm-hmm. She has her beautiful countenance back. She's back in church. Has a beautiful smile, and she said she's coming to Bible study. She wants to get the word. She doesn't know the word. She's been in church all of her life, but she doesn't know the word, and there's a lot of people out there that doesn't know the word. And so she agreed to come, not to this study, but to another study with me on the weekend. She said she wants to go, and I just wanted to say that a lot of times when we're witnessing to people, sometimes the Holy Spirit will have us to back off. But see, God will multiply the increase, not us. To humble ourselves. We get so caught up into it, we have to humble ourselves to back off. And some of the things you might not see in your lifetime, but it don't mean that it won't materialize.
Exactly.
You just go with the faith and hope that you planted that seed. And that God's word said it won't go out void. It will accomplish those things that it set out to do.
And what a great testimony that is. And I want us to understand that a lot of times when you're sensitive to the Spirit, there's a season that you're in anybody's life.
Right.
So there's people in your life, they're only going to be there for a season. And you have to be sensitive that in that season that you're in their life, you might be in a plant mode. You might be in a watering mode,
right.
Or you might be in, when you come into that part of their life, then you get to bring them in. So you don't know who all planted before, because I got a young man now, every time he see me, he said, do you remember the time when I was preaching Jesus to you, and I told you you ought to be saved and all that? And I go, no, but, you know, I'm sure God going to give you the glory for it. I mean, I didn't know what he really wanted me to say, you know, but if he did, it probably was a watering process. You know, because even before I knew him, I knew of God. And what I thought was a relationship wasn't as deep as it could have gotten. So a lot of times we just have to be sensitive that God will use us to a point. And then after so much water, and you have to wait and then see the fruit of it, you know. So I think that was good. You came to the point and you said, don't look like it's working. And the farmer, thank God, don't say that after he done put that seed in the ground. He keep running out there every day, and he looking. You know, it's when he stopped looking that it started to spring up, because his looking don't help it grow at all.
Spring up.
Right? That's every day he look, go out there and look, don't do nothing. But see, it's already working underground. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's boldly move on into chapter 4. And of course, I want to give you all a little preview of what's getting ready to happen here in chapter 4. Now, in chapter 3, what do we have? We had a lot of preaching and some good stuff was going on. And boy, it was some exciting times. And it seemed like those that had did all of this crucifying and all of that, boy, seemed like they was at bay, right? It seemed like, man, they down and the apostles are up, you know, because at first the apostles was down, they was running. Now the apostles are fired up, full of the Holy Ghost. They preaching, 3,000 folk that got saved, miracles going on. But guess what happened? Do the enemy lay down?
No.
Oh, buddy. So here we go. Chapter 4, the first persecution of the early church. Now, let's move on into 4:1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest, and to the captain of the temple, and the who? The Sadducees. All right, these some religious folks. Mm-hmm. All right. All these people came upon them. Why did they come upon them? Verse 2, being grieved that they what? Taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection
of the dead.
From the dead. Mm-hmm. Man, why were they grieved because of that?
I know the Sadducees were grieved because of that, because they didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they're figuring he preaching something that they don't believe in. Mm-hmm. That's not right.
Why else were they grieved?
They were also turning the people toward Jesus. They were saving souls.
Yeah, people were getting converted.
That's right.
The love of God was being shown.
Yeah.
Look, not only that, people were unified.
Right.
There was no division, no schism among them. They had already sold off stuff that they had. They had gave to the poor. I mean, we talking about a revival done broke out.
They were filled with the
I mean, the power of God was being made manifest.
Yes.
And look, when it said they taught the people, they weren't teaching them what they were talking about.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So now you got people now really understanding what the scriptures are saying. And he just got through telling them what the prophets had said. So they said, yeah, we remember what Moses said. Now people starting to connect the dots, as they said. Now people starting to connect the dots. So they getting fired up. Wasn't they fired up because Jesus had the big crowd? Huh? I loved it. Nicodemus came up to him and said, we know you sent from heaven. Because can't nobody do these things that you doing. So they knew a wave was coming. They thought they had him when they crucified him.
Right?
Right.
Right.
But now guess what? The crucifixion done turned on them. Mm-hmm. And now even more people are being converted. So they mad now.
And they still lifting his name up.
And they look, Jesus was supposed to be dead, but they still preaching him.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
All right.
Because they stopped them from going to the temple once they got saved. They lost people from going to the temple.
Well, you know, they were where they were preaching. I'm just saying the people being taught understood what going to the temple was really supposed to be about. See, you know, you're not going for a form and a fashion if you're going to praise God. So let's move on to 3. And they laid their hands on them. I love it. They didn't lay hands on them to anoint them, did they? That wasn't the anointing part of laying on the hands. They laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Boy, I tell you what, they didn't wait till the dark. They went ahead on and got them and said, we're going to hold y'all, won't be able to do nothing from the afternoon, evening, till the next day. They locked them down. Y'all talking to too many people. These folk converted. Get them early. Shut them down. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, what did they do when they heard the word? They believed. And the number of men
grew.
Was about how many?
5,000.
So now, how many got saved the first time?
Three plus.
Mm-hmm. So now here you got five. Now y'all do know arithmetic, right?
Right.
I want y'all to laugh about that, because if we would love to have 500 to 800 in a church service, here you talking about 3,000 got saved on the first go around, and here the next go around come 5,000. Now, you know what I like about this? They said the number of men. We didn't even talk about it. Now, wherever some men were, there was some women there.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you that right now. So it's just like when he fed 5,000 men, the next part of that part was what? Plus women and children. So now, we're talking about a massive revival here, right?
Right.
We're talking about when they heard the word, about 5,000 people got saved. That's a lot of people. And now this is the part about the arithmetic I was telling you about, and y'all laughed. When one person gets saved, how many people do you think that one person knew?
Many.
A lot of folk.
Right.
So this is where the math comes into play. You get 5,000 people excited about the things of God. You got another 5,000 folk that going to hear about this excitement that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Right? So now this thing is multiplying pretty good right now, because if you went from three, now you done got five. That's some pretty good math right there. So you got a lot of people talking. If something happened in the city of Atlanta and 5,000 people got a hold of it, that same math go to play in this city. There's another 5,000 folk around town that's going to be excited about that happened. Right. Next thing is going to hit the news, because if you got 5,000 folks shouting about something, it's going to hit the news. It's going to hit the radio, because everybody is five people away from somebody else. So if I know it, then somebody from the TV station going to know it. Somebody from the radio going to know it, because once I start running my mouth, out of these five people, I know one of them knows somebody at the radio, at the TV. So you see what's happening? This thing's done got out here now. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and, a big high priest and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were kindred of the what? Of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Man, they done called the big guns in. Huh? Now you look, they saying something going on. 5,000 folks done got saved. We got to rally the troops. We done arrested them, and we getting ready to get them now. We thought we had Jesus. The thing done backfired on us. Now we got to get the apostles. Now we got to get them. So we done locked them up, and let's get all the folk who against this thing. Let's get all of the high court. Let's get the mayor. Let's get the governor. Let's get the lieutenant governor. Huh? I was going to say something. I'm going to be quiet. Let's get everybody that's somebody, and we're getting ready to have court, right?
Right.
All right. Gather together in Jerusalem. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst. So now they bring them in. They sit them in. Now they got all these folk. They all dressed up. You know how they do. They sharp. They got their three-piece suits on. Some dressed in robes. And they looking all pious. And they got them down here in the middle of the thing. And they getting ready to throw down on them, right? We're going to see what happened with that. And ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? The showdown. Y'all remember the last showdown? Y'all remember when the prophet came and the prophet of Baal was out there, and he said, hey, let's see who's going to be. Let's see who going to show up. Y'all go out here and do what you do. And let's see if your God going to show up. And then I'm going to call the God of fire down, and we're going to see if he going to show up. They say, and they said, okay, go put some water on it then. Go ahead on and make it real hard. Douse it. Get it all wet. Because when the fire come, well, I'm going to show you who I represent. Right? So they're asking them the question. And boy, do we not have the answer? And this is why I want y'all to get excited. This is just a part in history. But here we are with that same power in us. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwell in us. So when the people say, what is it that make you so tough to be able to preach this? What can you say? Ooh, by the power of that Jesus that was raised up on the third day. Come on, y'all. Y'all ought to be getting excited. I know I am.
Oh, also, when he said, by what power, what name did you do this? Now, that question, even though it's a simple question, that means that you got to come with a boldness before the throne. Because just think about it. He was sitting around all the leaders, all the priests, great high priests. Most people are scared to death. And we could be charged like that. So that question that he put forth to him, he's got to come forward with a boldness before the throne, you know, and proclaim the name of Jesus. So he's, you know.
Now, I like what it said. It says, number one, by what power?
Right.
So, well, if you ain't going to tell us about the power, or by what name have you done this? Right. Mm-hmm. So we got the power of God and we got the name. Right. So we got a two-fold weapon here getting ready to get dealt with, right? Then Peter. Y'all know about Peter, right? Now Peter got some guts, right? Huh?
With the Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, buddy. So
and
then look,
say something too. He still feel he had that. Holy Ghost power too, like Portia say, from the day of Pentecost. It's still there.
Well, my question is, do y'all have some power?
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to hear. Y'all got power too. Look, have y'all been on one accord in one place and been seeking his face? That's what I'm talking about. Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders. Look, call them out, all y'all, from the high to the low. If we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, woo, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and this word even here is in italics, so that means that was added in to it. It says, raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I mean, point blank. It was him, he did it. And the evidence is still here. The man is made whole. Amen. Y'all knew this man was impotent. Y'all been watching him from a kid sit at this gate and beg. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
So they couldn't deny it. They knew it wasn't staged. He had been there too long. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
He had him. He had him. Be it known unto you. All of y'all. All of you, by the name of Jesus Christ, now whom you have crucified from the dead, even him does this man stand what? Here before you whole. 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. All that you've been looking for, you rejected it, but yet it's still going to be the chief cornerstone. Right?
Mm-hmm. They rejected Jesus. Now.
But see, they wanted everything to be done the way they wanted it.
Right.
But God said, no, I got a way, and this the way it's going to be, and this is how he did it. Number 12, and this is our stand, right? Neither is there salvation in what?
Nothing.
in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Must. Must. Could be. There's a chance you might get saved. Must be saved. So, you know what? Now, just in this little bit right here, I'm thinking back in the Old Testament when David went out to deal with Goliath. He said, you don't have a promise. You don't have a covenant, but I do. I do. And he took him down, didn't he? He took him down, and it didn't take but one small stone to do it, right? And so the stone that the builders rejected became that chief cornerstone. So that one little small stone that he had turned his whole life around when he let it go. All they had been preaching was that small stone that went out and knocked 5,000 people out. And when they came to, they repented and was converted. Isn't that something?
That is.
It's something. It don't take a lot, but God got a plan. And that's what it seems so simple, but we want to make it difficult. It's not difficult at all. If we preach Jesus and him crucified, he do the work. So you don't have to worry about you or them. Just let God do what he gonna do. And if we are obedient, I love it, willing and obedient, then it's gonna work. It's gonna work. All right. 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of you all, when people see the boldness in you, and perceive that you all are not all that wise and smart, they gonna marvel, and then they gonna take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? Right. Now, y'all know I'm gonna tell the truth here. And shame the devil. Now, God has put something on each and every one of you all that's under the sound of my voice. And you know, without a doubt, you go places and people say, there's something different about you.
Right. Yeah.
They do. And how is it that they can come and ask you to pray for them and pass over a whole lot of other people? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's funny. They may not have had a whole lot to say to you, but when something happened to them, they can find you. I'm going through something. Can you get a prayer through for me? You ain't been talking to me. Who told you? Who told you that I got that kind of power? Who led you over my way for you to bring this prayer request here? Now that's what we have to think about. But here's the scripture that say, when we've been around Jesus, people gonna know it. They gonna know it. Our lifestyle should put us in that position. Because God has us as being the salt of the earth in different places so that he can use us, either with our word or by example. Amen?
Amen.
So just think, you don't meet people by accident. You might think you do, but really you don't. You don't. You don't meet them by accident. And if you're prayerful and sensitive to the power of God and his spirit, God can give you a word that'll just one nugget, just one nugget in a conversation. And they'll say, you know what? I need for you to pray with me about something. I don't know. I just feel like you would understand. And you see, it's the power of God that will touch people. That light that God puts on the inside of us can shine to where we don't see it shining, but they do. People that don't have the light know if you got the light or not. They do. So, can people see that we've been with Jesus? Let's hope so. Yes. Let's hope so.
Oh, I want to interject in that, which they saw the courage that Peter and John, they could have been killed like Jesus. Their lives were on the line. When they stood up and said this, they could have been killed, you know. But they came with the boldness. The Holy Spirit was in them. They came with the boldness of the Holy Spirit and not of themselves.
Boy, that's a whole nother story right there. What is it in our flesh that would keep us from speaking up the things of God?
Yeah.
What is it in us that would say, I don't know if I start preaching Jesus, man, they might not speak to me. I might lose my job.
I want to fit in. I want to fit in. I don't want to make no waves.
Yeah. I don't want them to start thinking I'm a Holy Ghost roller and all of that, because then, you know, I might not get a raise. I might not get promoted. There's a lot of things that could come across your mind in the flesh that would hinder you from being bold in the spirit.
Or they might go back and tell my boss, and he might come back and hire me.
There may be some retaliation if I speak up. Actually, you shouldn't really be afraid. And I want to use some wisdom here. Is all of what we're talking about is predicated on the fact that you got a prayer life that you connected in and you sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because you can't get up in the middle of your workplace and start preaching Jesus and Him crucified.
That's true.
So I want to say there needs to be some wisdom in here.
That's right.
In here, God will prompt you when it's time to minister.
Right.
And then we're not ministering to our job. We're ministering to the individuals on the job that God points out to us to speak to, or who are drawn to us by the fact that we have been with Jesus.
Right.
Right. So I want to put something out here about how do you use wisdom. Because you can be full of the Holy Ghost and power, but if God don't tell you to stand up on your at your job and start preaching, don't get overexcited, you know, and just think you can preach anywhere at any time. We must be led by what? By the Spirit of God.
You know, I always wonder why my bosses didn't like me, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was praying about it, and he said, "It's not you, it's me in you."
Right.
Right.
Right. And you know what? While y'all are on the sound of my voice and those that are here, you don't need to be liked by everybody anyway.
That's right.
So I'm just telling you, you if everybody likes you and they can cuss around you and tell jokes and stuff like that, you might need to check your prayer life, because your light might not be that bright. It might be running a little dim. Mm-hmm. But at some point, the power of God should be so strong in you that people get a little check in them when they get past where they need to get. You know, God know how to check people. You know, I have been places where they don't even know me, but they'll say, you know what, I was going to tell this, but, you know, and then they looking over at me and I'm like, I don't even know you. But I can tell they want to say something, but they get that check that, something about him, I don't know. I might not need to tell that joke. You know, they have pictures on their phone and they show it to everybody, and I'm sitting there and they go around and they pass right by me. Yeah, they skip over me. They showing the video, and I can hear the music and everything, and I'm just looking at them. I'm saying, God looking at you. I tell them all the time, God looking at you. Y'all looking at me. God looking at you. I don't want to see it. Y'all already convicted. Now think about it. They already convicted when they passed by me. They already convicted with it, showing it to everybody else.
I just like to say that sometimes most of the times, people are in your lives for a reason and a season. And when that season is over, then you have to let it go. I mean, you wonder sometimes, well, I've been friends for 20 years, and all of a sudden, you know, they're not here anymore. This person is calling me, and all of a sudden, she just don't want to even be bothered anymore. Well, they were there for a season, and when the season is up, it's over. You planted the seed or done what you needed to do now, whether they receive it or not, it's on them. Right. It's not on us, because God said be obedient, and we've done what we needed to do, is shine our light, show our light, and hey, he has other people along the way moving in. As mm-hmm. those move out, he has people moving in, mm-hmm. because he said, I would that none be lost. So you can't stay on that mountaintop forever. We got to move on and meet those people who he has us to meet before we leave here.
I want to add something to that. A lot of times, people will come in and out of your life because they don't want to go to the level that you are. You'll meet some people and they see where you are in God, and they'll leave you alone because your ministry and what you have causes them to step up, and they don't want to.
Right.
So they'll just back off because they don't want to go up to the next level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and then they don't want you being there threatening them and making them look bad. So they'll just stop coming around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that you convicting them of their sin, you convicting them of their way. And that could be that they need to step up, but they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something holding them back. There's something around their ankle pulling them. Because I know a lot of people that go to church, but when I said, do you want to go to Bible study, they got excuses for that. But you know, why I go to church? Well, why you can't go to Bible study? Why I go to church? I'm a good person. I said, yeah, but you get more of your meat and potatoes, and that's where you get that maturing factor when you come doing midweek service. It don't take all that. You know, so... All right, let's move on to 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. Oh. That's your testimony right there. When you look at that, I want you to think about your testimony.
Wow.
That's your testimony standing right there in the midst of anybody that would say God is not real. Or that Jesus Christ won't save. That's you. When you look back over your life and think things over, what was happening before you got saved? And so now look at you. Now look at you. So we overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and what else? So how can people say God don't work when they know you? If you're talking to somebody that you grew up with, or somebody you used to hang with, run with, have a drink with, lie with, that's L-I-E, not to lie down with, but y'all used to tell stories together, y'all used to hang out, and they look at you and you done changed and God doing a work in your life, you are standing before them proof. Huh? They can't deny that God's power don't work. Not only has your conversation changed, but your conversation has changed. That means your lifestyle. Something different about you now. They can't deny that. You used to be like this, and now what you're speaking, and now the way you're talking, you done been with Jesus. You've been with somebody, because our conversation used to be over here, and now you got the hair on my arm standing up. Man, that stuff you're saying, that's hitting me in my heart. See?
I tell you, when it really happens is when everything is in chaos. Maybe you might be on your job or social event or wherever. Everything is in chaos and you're there just as calm and mm-hmm. peaceful. Mm-hmm. And that's when people yeah. say, how can you sit there like that? You know, I'm about to pull my hair out and you sitting over there and singing. Can you sit there?
I had a guy last night was telling me that same story. He said he used to work for Eastern Airlines. And the guys that were working in his area, you know, he had been talking to them about stepping up and doing things. And you know, they were like, oh, man, you know, ain't nothing going to change around here. And when they found out that they were about to go out, he said they were working like madmen back there. He said, I don't know why y'all doing all that. He said he had his scriptures out and they were looking at you. How can you sit here and be so calm and all this stuff going on? He said, I've been calm all the time. Y'all were the ones I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all of that, he said they cried like babies when they closed the door and told him to leave. He said he just got his stuff and went on because he knew that his God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask or think. And he said some of them guys was like, man, I don't see how you do it. He said, that's because you don't know the God that I know.
That situation happened to me when I worked at Kraft Foods. They was going to close the plant. Mm-hmm. And the superintendent was, you know, just standing right there when everybody was, you know, leaving out when the last day. Well, it was the last day for some of us. Some of us had to stay on, clean up and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he said, Francis, you're the only one walking out here smiling and everything. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I know where my help come from. Mm-hmm. And people was committing suicide.
Oh,
and,
really?
Oh, yeah. Some of the people mm-hmm. that have been there 40 years, you know, what? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They were committing suicide, people were crying, and you know, they knew it was coming, but when it actually happened,
because
the Lord had told me 6 months before that, pay your bills off, pay this car off, and I
really?
Did,
mm-hmm.
no 6 months before that, it happened, mm-hmm. and then they came back and told us that the plant was going to shut down, mm-hmm. and I was just walking out of there smiling, I said, see y'all, I didn't work no way, but anyway, I was glad, I was, you know, then the people was, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm. And you ain't missed a beat since.
And I'm
going to
tell
you. That's
right. And that's the same way this guy was saying. He's saying that God has still been good to him in the midst of that thing closing down and everything. All right. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a what? Notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell into Jerusalem, and we cannot what?
Deny it.
We can't deny it. Boy, were they in a rock and a hard place? Mm-hmm. They were caught in it right then. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Can you be scared off? Can the enemy bring something to your charge to keep your mouth shut? Huh? What is it that he got on you that gonna keep you from confessing him to a lost and dying world? Huh? What is that weight and sin that's got you down to where you can't preach? That you can't tell your testimony? What got you scared? Boy, y'all quiet. Somebody should have said nothing. Somebody should have said, ain't nothing going to keep my mouth closed. I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of God. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But in verse 19, I love it. That little three-letter word. That's some kind of word there, right? But Peter and John answered and said unto him, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. He said, hey, whatever you're saying may sound good to you, but we're going for God. And we can't lie because and not tell it because we saw it. And guess what else? Y'all saw it. Right? 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. What happened right then? They couldn't do nothing with them. You know why? 5,000 people were standing around out there going, you better not do nothing. they didn't have anything to charge them with.
Right.
They couldn't deny that there was a miracle. All they could do was to threaten them. They dare not kill them because, you know what? They already said, we can't really hurt them because you see what happened when we did Jesus in. Huh? We did Jesus in. 8,000 folk running around fired up in this town. We dare not hurt nobody else. Right? For the men was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. What does that mean? That meant that they knew him from a child. He had been lame a long time. So they couldn't say it was a setup. They couldn't say it was a trick, because they all knew him, because they saw him sitting there begging all his life. So they couldn't do nothing. It was a bona fide miracle. And they couldn't deny it, because here the man was 40 years old.
And then, like you say, they got 8,000 plus
people. They got 8,000 people out there done repented and been converted. Mm-hmm. They in trouble. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now they went and talked about them. Mm-hmm. Now they went and called them out. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made the what? Heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all is. 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? He said, Lord, they trying to cut up on us. Something wrong with them. Right? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. It says all of this was set up in the beginning that God could get the glory. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all what?
Boldness,
that we may speak thy word. That's for y'all right there.
Right.
That's y'all. Lord, grant us the boldness to speak your word. For people going to rise up. Folk going to have something to say about it. But grant us the boldness in you to speak your word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. What? By the name of thy holy child, Jesus. What can you put right there? These signs shall follow them that believe. Right? They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Right?
Right.
All because God has granted you the power. And when they had prayed, what happened? The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with what?
The Holy Spirit.
And they spake the word of God with boldness. 31. 31 is what? That's you in your prayer closet praying, God empower me. And that place will shake where you are. And you will be empowered to speak boldness. Again, the foundation of this Bible study has been prayer. Seeking God's face. And then going out under the power of God. And let him get the glory out of your life. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which said anything which out of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they all had what?
Things
in common. See, that's what we miss it. Now, I don't have no hesitation about it. We holding on to some things because we believe we own them and we possess them. But we just stewards over all of the things that we have. We really don't own anything.
Right.
The majority of things that we have, somebody else had them before we had them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's antique, a whole lot of people had them before you had them.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what? Let something happen to you, somebody else going to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Just a thought. They had things in common. And 33, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Great grace was upon them all.
Grace.
Grace. Y'all ought to be excited. Neither was there any among them that what? That lacked anything. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. My Lord. Now, how do we apply that today? God said, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be meat in mine house, said the Lord. And if you really get prayed up and let God touch you, you know, you give a tithe and you give an offering, and then you let God move on to you to invest more into the kingdom. He said, when you give to the poor, you lend to God. Man, God pay big dividends. Man, y'all worrying about what a bond is paying 2%, 3%. You said, boy, that ain't no money. But God give you the money that you have anyway. So if he give you the money and then you deposit it into him, he know how to give you a return back. He said, if you do it, he'll open up what? The windows of heaven. That you will receive a blessing.
Have you known, though, of a church? I have known of a church at one time who did it similar to the way it is here, mentioned here, where people brought their rings and whatever they had and brought it to the altar. But can that not also happen here? We see someone in need just. But you think it's just the tithes?
Well, again, what you pray and your level of commitment to God will yield that sort of thing. And that's what we have right here. They prayed, and you saw their prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Lord, empower us.
Right.
And when they said that and meant that, they got empowered and they got on one accord with one heart. And what happened? They said all this stuff is all material. Well, if you believe that the power of God can supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, y'all already know the scriptures. Mm-hmm, right. Then whatever God tell you to do, then that's what you do.
That's an individual
thing. But again, as a church now, there could be a corporate grace to say, OK, we have a need. And then people come with what they have to give for the corporate need.
OK.
All right, that could be a corporate need. Let's just use the illustration of, you remember when the people needed the water in Detroit, and pastor came up and said, and then people gave, and then some people brought water. I mean, these are corporate needs that can be, you know, ministered to. You know, I say this, you know, God knows the man who's over the house. And when the man of the house comes up and says, we have this going up, we have that need, then it's up to us who are prayed up. You know, and God said, okay, I need for you to stand up and get that $1,000 you've been holding for this car you think you need. And then that's you said, well, I'm going to go and give this $1,000 and then somebody give you a car. You know, or they come up with a special where, you know, the rebates and all of the stuff got your deposit down. So your $1,000 you thought you needed, you didn't need anyway, because God can give you favor. Do y'all believe that God can give you favor?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things we think we have to have, but all we need is God's favor. All right. All right. Well, we got through chapter 4, and let's get excited because we're going to get on into chapter 5 when we return.